This is Buster again, and as Tony was saying, the federal government, which is another one of the branches of the Vatican, listens to every program that Pastor Alamo puts out, and we have programs that our Pastor Tony Alamo does worldwide. And for myself, when the federal agents hit my store, there was so many of them when I first walked in, and they had nobody there that would tell me exactly what was going on. They were taking merchandise of mine, and they had nobody on my behalf that would give a verification of the count. So I don't know that they took more than what they said they took. Then they were questioning me in an office I had in that building, which is a small office. And at one point, they lifted up one of Pastor Tony Alamo's pieces of literature and stuffed it in my face and said, "Do you believe in this junk?" And I looked at him and I said, "You guys are the epic of the literature that's written on that particular track." They at one point said that I didn't seem to be too upset about the activities going on, and I was very calm. The Lord had me cool and collected, and I said, "I'm just praying for you guys." I said, "I have the victory. And if it's okay with you, Tony, I'd love to give my salvation testimony, what happened to me in 2003 when I received salvation."
Right, but this was before you met me with
him. Oh, absolutely, yes, sir.
Okay, so, they're saying I brainwashed him or something, and that I brainwashed him. One of the things that the Bible says is that he said that there's a covenant, and that the new covenant is like a contract, it's the law, it's the deal that God makes. He's a Jewish God, and he makes deals with everybody. He said, "If you keep my covenant," that means covenant, that means if you do everything that he says. He said, "You are my friends if you do everything I tell you." And he says, love is not the factor. And he says that love is the keeping of God's commandments. So if we keep his covenant, which was signed in his blood, then we are his friend. Now, he said, if you believe Satan over me, this satanic government, and if you are afraid of Satan, you take... He wants you to make these deals with you. In other words, to turn your back on Christ and the people of Christ. That means you're anti-Christ. And all, that's the same thing as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Because the Word of God is Spirit and it's life. That's the covenant. So he puts himself not only near us, but he puts himself inside of us. And when God enters into us, he is the living law within us, and the law is the new covenant. It's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And he gives us supernatural signs, wonders, visions, and dreams, and I've had plenty of them, more than anybody I've ever known in the Bible or in my lifetime. And Buster had one here where he saw like swine. Now, if we accept the covenant, then we're no longer under the condemnation of the law. So long as we continue the new covenant. Now, there's the starting line in salvation, and there's the finishing line. And only those that continue on around the racetrack, you have to run the race of salvation, only those will be saved. Those that continue to the end shall be saved. And what Satan's trying to do is stop you from continuing the race. And if he's going to frighten you by this dreadful beast, the one that threatens you, that says if you don't fess up, we're going to throw you in prison, just like we did John Peeler's son, because you wouldn't murder Tony Alamo for preaching the gospel, for coming against God, the devil. Their God is Satan. So you're not coming against, if you're not going to line up with the devil, then you have to go to prison. Now, assassinate him. It's like Caligula. Amuse me. Amuse me. You people are the most rotten people that have ever lived. The Bible says so. Amen?
Amen.
That turn your back on God. It's like you re-crucified the Lord Jesus Christ afresh, and you've re-crucified him unto yourself. And there's no more repentance for you. No matter how hard you try to repent, you devils. That's the worst kind of devil that has known the truth and has turned their back on it. Now, Buster, tell them how the Lord showed you the truth and why you're actually saved and why you're making such a normal stand. Now, some people today that have fallen away, they say, wow, he's making a dramatic stand. Well, a lot of us have gone to they have been nailed to crosses like Peter, upside down. Paul had his head cut off. We haven't come to that sort of thing. A lot of them were put in prison. I have. I've been stoned.
Amen.
But, I mean, what kind of idiots would we be if we didn't really believe the truth and continue on? I mean, what would we do? Why would we keep going on with this unless we knew it was 100% true?
Amen.
It's 100% true, the Word of God. And you can see that it's the end of time right now. Go ahead, Buster.
On June 20th of 2003, I was sitting in a room in my home in Texarkana. We call the sunroom. It has windows all the way around it. I was looking out the window. It was in the middle of the afternoon. I was home by myself. And all of a sudden, out in the middle of this room, came two planet Earths as in a hologram. And on the planet on my left, the Lord started talking to me in my mind using my own voice. And he said, the planet on your left is full of every good person you've ever known. The planet on your right is full of every rotten person you've ever known. Of these two...
You knew quite a few rotten people.
Oh, it would be overloaded with rotten. And he said, of these two, which would you choose to live on for eternity? And I was sitting there absolutely like in suspended animation. I had no clue what was going on, but I knew immediately that there was a supernatural presence of God there. I said, I would take the planet on my left full of the good people. Well, the planet on my left stayed perfection. The planet on the right turned into a ball of fire, and there was human heads sticking out of this ball of fire screaming. But they weren't screaming the screams of human beings. I was raised on a farm, and at 6 years old was taken to a slaughterhouse where they slaughtered hogs. And the sound of these hogs squealing as they were being drugged to be hung upside down.
They have a big wheel, right?
Yes, sir.
And then they have, every few feet, they have a chain with a hook on it.
Yes, sir.
And they hook that chain around the pig's feet.
Right.
And they're squealing like, oh, they're like they stay down here, all get out, until they're hanging upside down.
A spine-chilling scream,
yeah. Yeah, it's a squeal.
Yes.
And when they go upside down, they can't squeal anymore.
Amen.
Because we used to pick little pigs up. They'd be squealing like crazy. And then we'd pick them up, and they couldn't say a thing.
Right.
And you're hanging them by their back legs.
Yes, sir.
So that people know a little bit about
hogs. There you go. So that sound that I experienced at that slaughterhouse at 6 years old gave me nightmares from the time I was there at 6 years old all the way into my late 20s. I still would have nightmares from time to time about that sound and the torment of those hogs squealing. So when I saw this vision in my home at 52 years old in June 20th of 2003, and that ball of fire with human heads sticking out of it screaming, those sounds coming out of them were the same sounds as those hogs squealing that I had nightmares over for 23 years. And here comes the voice in my head. Now, of these two, the planet on your left in perfection, the planet on your right with the ball of fire, human heads sticking out of it squealing like pigs, of these two, which would you choose for eternity? And I can remember so clearly saying, man, I'm not brain dead. I'll take the one on the left. I want the good planet. He said, you're not going there the way you are. And I said, what do I have to do to get there? He said, you have to read my word daily, pray continually, sin no more, and tell others of me when the door's open to do so. And I simply said, man, you've got a deal. I didn't even know you were alive. And it went away, and from that point on, I have been serving him. Now, I didn't know anything about the Tony Alamo Christian Ministries per se. I'd met a couple of brothers from this ministry some time before that, but I still would never allow them to truly witness to me. I wouldn't allow anyone to even bring a Bible into my house. I was anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-everything. I didn't believe in God, the devil, or nothing. I did read a piece of literature that Tony had written called The Messiah, according to Bible prophecy. One of these two brothers from this ministry had snuck it into an end table in my home, and I had read it two times prior to this vision that the Lord came into that room in my house and gave me. So I knew that the ministry existed, and I said, what am I supposed to do now, God? And he directed me by the power of the Holy Spirit to come to this church, the Tony Lamo Christian Ministry. And I started coming a few nights after I was saved. I, again, came seven nights a week. I would read Bible with brothers after the service. There was a free meal after every service, and I would read after the meal with brothers in the ministry till, gosh, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd go home and read Bible from there till the sun came up. And I was here 8 weeks, 2 months, before I ever met Tony Alamo. I never had people would ask me, you know, aren't you excited to meet Tony? And honestly, I didn't care whether I ever met Tony, because I knew I was supposed to do those four things, and I was in a church that had services seven nights a week.
But Tony or nobody else told you to do that, but God, right?
God told me to. Absolutely, yes, sir.
So you know you heard from God. You're not keeping any man's commandments.
No, sir.
You're doing what God said, just like me. That's why I quit the entertainment industry. I owned a Beatles album. I had the number one promotion thing going on earth at the time, and I just gave it up, because when you know God, there isn't anything else that matters.
Amen.
The Lord says not to be entangled with the affairs of this world. Amen.
Amen.
And so I just hung it all up, threw in the towel, threw in the, everything. It just seemed like the Apostle Paul said, like dung to me, everything, because I want life.
Amen.
Eternal. Amen.
Amen.
And then what?
So I started reading during that 8 weeks. Of course, they had all of Tony's literature inside the church, and I started taking pieces of the literature home. And every piece of literature had tons of footnotes at the bottom of every page. And I knew that God wanted me to check this out. So I started taking the footnotes and going back into the King James Version of the Holy Bible and reading the verses, comparing them to the literature. And I said, if there's something wrong with this ministry, God, show it to me. Let me find it. And I read continually, and I kept looking up continually all the references to the Bible from the literature that God had had Tony to write. Not one piece of that literature on any occasion did I ever read that was anything contrary to the truth of the Word of God straight out of the King James Version of the Holy Bible.
That's why the devil, the government, the Antichrist is attacking me so hard, because we're actually, you see all these other people skirting the Vatican, and they're doing some things. They're exalting the Jews in a wrong way. I'm 100% for Israel. They were cast out by God 2,000 years ago. But God said, I will bring them back to their homeland, not the Palestinians' homeland. You know, the Palestinians, all these people are controlled by the Vatican. The Muslim church, I've given you books on that where Jack Chick had put them out.
Yes, sir.
And anyone out there that would like a copy of a book that shows you how the Muslim religion started, it was started by a Catholic priest and a Catholic nun. They brainwashed and gave drugs to this little guy named Muhammad, and they started taking down notes of the hallucinations that he was having. And they wrote this this book that they used, the Quran, right? And they call that Holy Writ. Okay, continue on, Buster.
So after I did meet Tony, I knew by the Lord giving me the sensation in the spirit that through all the reading of all the literature, looking up all the footnotes, and being able to visit with him person to person, and he made a comment to me once that really sunk in. He said, if you ever know of me being wrong, scripturally, that I'm teaching something that isn't right, you tell me. I've got a soul. I want to go to heaven too, just like anybody else.
Yeah, tell me so I can repent.
Amen.
Right, then what?
And I have diligently and continually read the Bible ever since, and God has opened up so much in such a short period of time. And the Lord has blessed me with being able to do work for God through the ministry and under the leadership of Tony Lamos. And I am very blessed, extremely blessed, to be in this ministry. And during the time that the FBI was in my office and they kept asking me why I wasn't seemingly so upset, and I said, I have the victory. I know that they can take away my business, my money, my home, whatever they want to take away, but they can never, ever take away my soul. And I will never turn on God. I will never turn on a true work of God, which is exactly what the Tony Lamo Christian Ministries is a true work of God.
Amen.
And any true work of God is going to come under persecution. Jesus promised it, and I have recently experienced it, know it to be true, I'm living it. And anyone that is not under persecution isn't truly doing a work of the Lord, because if you would be, you would have Satan so mad at you that he would launch everything he could to attack you and keep attacking you. He never takes a day off. And I was so happy to be in a ministry that had services 7 nights a week. I was so rotten carnally that I knew that I needed that fed by the Word of God, drinking from the rivers of life and eating from the tree of life continually, 7 nights a week. No other church I'd ever heard of had services 7 nights a week. I thought to myself so many times, how can people claim they're Christians? I don't know. I worked 7 days a week for the love of money. And I knew Satan, if he existed, he sure wasn't going to be taking a day off.
Actually, we have services 7 days a week and twice on Sunday.
Twice on Sunday, yes,
yeah,
sir.
We serve meals after each service, but... Now, you told four things that the Lord told you to do. Now, what was later he told you the fifth thing?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But we had this attorney over the other day, and he said, but you said that the Lord only told you four things. And you answered him, yeah, that was before I knew Tony, and I knew that all the doctrine was true. But what did you tell him after that?
Yes, sir, and I also told him, I said, if you would stop and let me tell you what the fifth thing was, you'd understand that he could not possibly have given it to me prior to knowing Tony. And the fifth thing that he gave me was about a year and 2 months after I was in the ministry. And I, of course, again, had read all the literature, and I knew Tony. And the fifth thing that God gave me, one night I was reading, and he directed me to Hebrews, the 13th chapter of Hebrews, verse 17. And when I came to that verse, it's like God literally magnified it off of the page in my eyes and ingrained it in my mind and heart. And that verse says, to obey those that have the rule over you, submit yourselves, for they look upon your souls as those who must give account, and make it a joy for them to be over you, because if you don't, it will be unprofitable for you. So the Lord...
Same thing that this wicked government does, it says to obey us because we're the rule of you. But that's what they were telling the Apostle Paul and Silas, too, and they said it's better to believe God and serve him than it is man. Amen?
Amen.
And so you have to take a choice who you're going to serve, and that's either God through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is also God. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one. There's just one God. Or you're going to follow the cult in Rome, the government, and the media. They are one. That's Satan's machine.
Amen.
And it's all given by the spirit of Satan. They're all possessed with the devil. Most of the people of this world are possessed with the devil, but go ahead, Buster. I mean, I get going here.
So when I read that and the Lord ingrained it in my mind and heart, he told me then, he said, add that to the original four things that I gave you the day of your salvation, and you follow all five every day, and you will ascend through the gates to the kingdom of heaven. And I pray every day and weigh and measure myself according to those five things he told me to do, and pray continually that I do make it a joy for Tony to be over me, and that I am obedient unto the Lord God Almighty to do the things that he instructs us all to do in his word in the Holy Bible. Unfortunately, through witnessing and testifying to so many people, there's hardly anyone out there that even reads the Bible, even those in other churches and denominations. When you witness to them, they find out, I had an aunt in Tuttle, Oklahoma, that had been a member of a Baptist church of Tuttle for 61 years. And the first time that I saw her after I was saved, I'd been in the ministry for over a year and was witnessing to her and would bring up scriptures that I thought surely she would know, and she had no clue what they were. And she had been in that church for 61 years. I said, Aunt, how could you possibly be in that church for that number of years and not know these scriptures that we're referring to? And she made a comment that just floored me. Well, all I know is that the love of Jesus will see me through all things, and I know that the Lord is going to continually bless me because I was once saved, so I will always be saved. That Baptist doctrine.
And the Bible says that's the lie. It says if you were saved and then you turned and began living the life that you did before or even worse, that there remains no more forgiveness for you. If the Lord isn't going to come back and die for you again. He said, behold, I was dead. He that was alive was dead, and now I'm alive, and I'm alive forevermore. I'm not going to go back and die for you again. And that's why, you know, can just be sure that you're going to hell if you knew the Lord and that you're living a life of sin again. I'll show you, if you have any doubt about that, call me, and I'll give you 100 or hundreds of scriptures that will tell the same thing. The angels were in the kingdom of heaven, and they, one-third of them, fell, and they're in chains of darkness not right now waiting to go to the lake of fire. They were greater. They're greater than we are, and yet they're going to hell. And so the Lord uses this as examples. He tells you how he drowned the whole world. He doesn't let people sin. Adam and Eve had to die, and they were on their way to hell. But God, in the book of Adam and Eve, said that he's coming to earth in the last days as a man. And if they believe that, and that he said he had to shed his blood, because there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood, that he would shed his blood so that you could be, if you believe on the blood of Jesus, yeah, that means that you're washed in it, you go and sin no more.
Amen.
And take up the cross and deny yourself. Well, why would I be denying myself or Buster or anyone else that's born again of the Spirit and put up with all these dirty, filthy lies if there wasn't a hell to go to? Now, you could just go and sin again. Well, probably I'd go join the Catholic Church, you know, or the Baptist Church, because they think, hey, you know, what's the big deal? Why do we have to go through all this persecution, Paul said? Why do I suffer all these things if there's no heaven and there's no hell? Now, I mean, it would be as stupid for a person. I've seen hell, and I've seen heaven, and I've been threatened by the Lord, and so has Ezekiel and the other prophets. God told Ezekiel, you go and tell the people the things that I'm saying. They're not going to believe you, but he said, keep saying it, because if you don't go to them and tell them, he says, the blood of their souls are on your hand.
Amen.
And you'll go to hell because you didn't do it. I told you. Okay, so that didn't leave him any slack. And the Lord Jesus Christ says he takes no pleasure in those that know the truth and turn back. The first chapter of Romans says that you're worthy of death if you've known the truth. You've tasted the good word of God, and you knew the plan of salvation. You were saved. And then fall away. And the Lord says to those in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said, that he's not coming back until there be a great falling away from the Lord, a falling away. He says that Satan will come and live in you in the temple of God.
Amen.
And everybody thinks they're going to build a temple, these false prophets over in Israel, and that the devil, the Antichrist, the singular person rather than a corporate body of people, are going to go into that temple and he's going to show himself that he is God. No, he's entering into you former Christians that were the temple of God, and you fell away from the Lord with your false doctrine. You think that you can go and lust with your eyes. The Lord says anyone that even lusts with their eyes with a married woman, with a woman in their heart, you've already committed adultery.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And he says all adulterers, even Christian adulterers, people that are secular adulterers, all adulterers shall spend eternity in the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
And the fearful unbelieving, the people, you phonies, you hypocrites that call yourself Christians and commit adultery and fornication, you condone all these things. Well, it's so hard to come against all these people in the world. It was hard for Jesus, so hard that he actually got nailed to the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you have to be like, you have to come and follow him if it may be that you're nailed to a cross.
Amen.
Amen? If it be that you put in prison, if it means that you're going to be assassinated with your character, or if they're going to put contracts out on you, whatever, you have to endure to the end.
Amen.
Endure. Hardness like a good soldier. Why go through hardness if there's no hell? Why do you say that, you know, the Lord says, because they fell away, I send them strong delusions to make you believe, you people out there, that what I'm saying is false.
Amen.
Because what I'm saying is what the Bible says.
Amen.
And if you don't believe the Bible, then you are rejecting Christ. The Bible says, believe on Christ, the word of God, and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
Amen.
All those that doubt, he says, shall be damned. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We'll continue on, Buster.
Second night I came to services back in 2003, one of my good friends in town, an attorney, pulled up in the parking lot, and he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to church. He said, no, you can't do that. He says, we better have lunch tomorrow and talk about this. From that point on, I had months and months of friends that I had in town, which were lawyers, attorneys, judges, district attorneys, business owners of all kinds, try to get me to quit coming to this church. The continuation of that was nothing more than an absolute proof to me that this is exactly where God wanted me, because all of these friends who I had never heard anything out of their mouths about a church, and I'd heard everything, every filthy joke, and they led lives like I used to, which was full of sin. All of a sudden, they start wanting me to go to their churches. I said, man, I didn't even know any of you guys went to church. What are you talking about? So the devil in them was trying to get me to get out of the Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, because Satan knows that this is a true work of God, and he doesn't want anyone staying here that's going to go out and witness and testify to the masses that are blinded by Satan, to tell them the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So year and a half after I was saved and was in this ministry, we had a special event. And to show the true supernatural, miraculous power of the Lord, 103 of those same people that was continually trying to get me to stop going to this church came to that special event. What a miraculous night that was.
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet. Then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you? Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free? Or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773. 559-781-3773.
Federal aggression is the same as Roman Catholic satanic aggression. This is all people that are supposed to be Christians have allowed Satan, through the Vatican, its world government, and the media take over everything. And this is going to go against you folks, you people that call yourself Christians, if you don't get up and start doing what I'm doing, what this church is doing, all the people in this church. I feel highly honored that one of my heroes, Greg Szymanski, I mean, he is really a hero because
Amen.
He stepped out and he's starting to tell people, what's happening in this world today to take his program here for the next 2 days, today and tomorrow, in Investigative Journal. Good for you, Greg Szymanski.
Amen.
You're a hero. You're my hero. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Other than the Lord. The Lord comes first. Buster here and all the people in my church, they're all heroes. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, Buster, continue on what you were saying.
The special event that we had when 103 of my friends showed up, and there was such a mixed bag of individuals there from attorneys and doctors and lawyers, and CPA firm owners, all the way down to beer joint owners, ex-prostitutes and pimps. It was the Lord had really touched a lot of people, and they came in. They've been to several of them that we've had here at the church. And I was going to mention, I had a phone call today from a friend of mine in Houston, Texas, and this was an ex-Catholic. And when I say ex-Catholic, he is ex because he has read the literature that Pastor Tony Lamo has written, going all the way back to the 1983 Pope's Secret. And he called me to tell me that so many people he's witnessed to in Houston and handed the literature out to are now beginning to really see the light, since this current Pope Ratzinger made the statement that the Catholic Church is the only true church, and that if you belong to any other church besides the Catholic Church, that you have no hope for salvation. And he said when he heard that, and everybody else that he knew heard that,
everybody is literally up in arms that was still in, and there's lots of people now getting out of that Catholic cult.
Now, because the Bible plainly states that the true, the first and foremost and the oldest church is the church that was born on the day of Pentecost in chapter 2 of the book of Acts. The Lord Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, instructed his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem, and they found an upper room. They went to this particular person that the Lord told them to go to, and to they stayed there in this upper room. There was 120 Jews, not Romans or Catholics. They were Jewish Christians. They were the first Hebrew Christians on earth. And the Lord, they tarried there for the power to be able to go through the persecution and to be able to go into the ministry. But the Lord didn't. He has a purpose for coming to this world and saving our souls, and that is that he could wear us just like a garment, because he wants us to be nailed to his same cross, to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. And so he wants to wear us. He wants to use us as a suit. Because when the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, enters us, when Christ with his Father by the Spirit enters us, it benumbs our body so that we are able to resist temptation. And so he in the upper room where they tarried and tarried and tarried, and then all of a sudden, like a roaring wind, the baptism of the Holy Spirit came down and filled them all, 120 of them, and they began speaking in tongues. And this is the day that the church was born in Jerusalem, not Rome.
Amen.
And Peter is not a pope. He was the one that got up and started preaching the gospel.
Amen.
And he was saying that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and to pray to Jesus, not to Mary.
Amen.
I mean, that's the exact opposite of the Bible. If you people would read the Bible, you'd see that this is the truth. The oldest church on the face of this earth is the Christian, the born-again, Spirit-filled Christians. There was Peter got up and started preaching under the power of the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 Jews were born again of the Spirit, and they began being persecuted by the Romans.
Amen.
The Romans were the ones that tried to get them, and these unsaved Jews were the ones that were trying to get the people, scare the people from serving the Lord. That's why the Bible says that Jesus, before he was crucified, said, Peter, Satan will sift you. He'll scare you away from me. And, of course, as I said earlier in the program, he actually even used profanity to prove that he didn't know Jesus. But that was before he was converted. And the Lord told him, when you're converted, after you see that your fear was foolish, because I'm going to rise from the dead. They're going to bury me, and I'm going to raise from the dead to prove that I'm God. All right, and so when that happened, then Peter converted, and he said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified the way as the same way as my Lord was. I'll be crucified upside down, because when you know for without a shadow of a doubt that that God is real and His Word is real, and God is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and still is, and became flesh."
Amen.
The first chapter of John. Well, then, and he dwelt among us. And now he doesn't just dwell among us, but he dwells in us.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And so this is where the first church began. And then these satanic beings, these demon spirits, the same as the religious order like the Sadducees and the scribes, they sought to put him to death, the true Savior of the world, God Almighty come in the flesh. So they looked to put him to death, and that's what they're doing today. And how do they look to put you to death? Let's dream up some lies.
Amen.
Let's dream up some lies and let's scare his people away from him so that we'll end this, what they call satanic truth of the Word of God. If we don't do that, they're going to be put. They're going to run us out. Everybody believes him, but they wanted to put him to death without the public seeing him because the public believed him. And listen, you folks out there, the public believes me.
Amen.
Like, we get at least 1,500 emails today, and we're getting calls. We get letters. We get letters, and I don't solicit them. I don't solicit them, but people know it's the truth.
Amen.
All you got to do to find out is to pick up the Bible, and you'll know without a shadow of doubt that what I'm telling you is the truth. And listen, you, I get the same credit for witnessing and testifying to you whether you believe or not. That's what God promised Ezekiel and all the other prophets and the disciples. So my job is to just convince the gainsayer, preach the gospel to them, and sow the seed. Now, the sow the seed, some of you people, you talk about there's no eternal security, there's eternal security. Then why does, when the Lord says he sowed it into ground where there's thistles and thorns, these are people that backslide. They sprung up for a while and they really loved the feeling of the Holy Spirit and the taste of the good word of the Lord. And then all of a sudden, the cares of the world took over. And then persecution came. They start coming up on the ridge with rifles, and they're going to kill you if you don't stop going to Don Elamo's church. Buster, we're going to take your whole furniture store away. We're going to take these sticks of furniture. Well, they marched on my store in Nashville, Tennessee, and they took it. There was a couple $1 million worth of clothes there, and they auctioned them off at the fairgrounds, the IRS did. They said, this is what the world's greatest designer. Well, they don't mind giving you credit for having a great furniture store or, designing clothes better than anybody else. Movie stars were wearing them and everything. But they don't want you to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Now, they came to Denver when I was there. They wanted to. They said, look, we won't bring any more false charges against you if you'll let us sell your clothes. I thought, hey, you people, what are you trying to make it look as though I have to give you permission to, you closed the store down. You took all the stuff out of the store. What are you trying to do? Convert me into thinking that you're nice guys? Why, if you'll do that, we'll never bring false charges against you again. I told a man that was in the church, get a signature on it. He never did. So he took and advertised it far and wide, all over to different countries, said, all these beautiful clothes are going to be sold at the fairgrounds. They did. Well, we're going to take it away. I put a sign in my store window saying, God gave, God took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And even the Nashville, Tennessee newspaper put it right on the front page, that picture that they took of the window. Very big old sign I put in there. And I said, well, the people in Nashville are not going to have any more groovy clothes threads. All right, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, anything else, Buster?
Well, I was going to mention one other thing real quickly. When persecution comes, it's going to come in so many different forms. And they have been around my home. They've tried to scare my wife. They took the trash of ours before the garbage truck got there. And 2 weeks later, 2 weeks worth of our trash was strewn up and down the back of our property. They've had vehicles in the alley behind our house. They've thrown rocks and stuff at our house from the back. They've been across the street on the curb taking pictures of us, coming and going in and out of the house. They'll come after you in any and every way they can.
Yeah, they want to scare you, just like this vision that God gave to Daniel and to myself, the same one. It was dreadful. It had huge triangular-shaped teeth. I mean, this vision went clear up into heaven that I saw. It was the dream vision, and it was staggering from side to side toward me, and it looked like there was a huge fire of a furnace inside of its mouth, and his eyes, the head was hollow. There's nothing in Satan's head but just destruction.
Amen.
And the Bible says that he's come to destroy.
Amen.
And a liar and the father of it. Well, say, so the first church, let me just get that through your skull. Remember that you have a skull, and there's supposed to be a brain in there, and you have a soul and a spirit. You can decide in your soul who you're going to believe, God or Satan. The Bible says that the first church was in Jerusalem, and it was Jews, not Catholics. And Catholics have infiltrated into every church on the face of this earth, and they go in there and undermine it, and they start bringing false accusations against preachers. Alberto Rivera said that he would take pretty-looking women into pastors that he knew, that they knew that they felt that they had some kind of a sex problem, and they take these girls in miniskirts into the churches, and they just go up to the minister and start running their head across, their hands across their bald heads, and whispering sweet nothings in their ear, and eventually they wind up in the sack with them. Okay, well, this was Alberto's job, and then he got converted because he received the gospel and got saved, and he started blowing the whistle on the Vatican. He was right next to the Black Pope. And but the story goes on and on. You can get all of this literature from a Jack Chick publishing company. And as I said, I have ordered several hundred books of how Alberto told Jack Chick how the Muslim religion started. But anyway, Sanford, do you want to tell a little bit of your testimony?
Well, just...
Yeah. Before you get hit again or go off the road and get yourself killed. But if you do, you'll be in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
That's the main thing, get to heaven.
Amen.
I was 27 years old, and I'd really been searching for the truth. I wasn't financially destitute, but I certainly was spiritually destitute. I built my own little world out of commercial fishing boats.
And mentally destitute.
Yeah, mentally destitute, too. A commercial fishing boat big enough to run... To go anywhere in the world and small enough to run by myself, because I hated the world, I hated society, and I just didn't know where to turn. I searched in every kind of religion, philosophy, everything that looked interesting to me, everything that looked like maybe people knew something I didn't know, but I wanted to know the truth. I wanted to know God, and I could not find him. And I finally determined the only way I was going to find out was to pray. And I started praying, asking God to reveal the truth to me and show me some people that knew the truth, because I knew there had to be real people someplace on the face of this earth, not phony plastic people, but real people. And one day I left my boat, just felt like going someplace. I ended up out in the desert, and happened to be a Sunday morning. I went up and climbed up on a little mountain, and I prayed that same prayer, asking God to reveal the truth to me and show me some people that knew the truth. And a little later that day, I was going down Sierra Highway in Saugus, California, and God made me turn my head clear around to see the sign that said Christian Foundation, and that's all I saw. But because it said Christian, I kept going. I didn't want to have anything to do with Christian because of the testimony that had been presented to me when I was growing up in the churches. But God made me turn back around, not very far down the highway, and I went back up the highway again, and I read the whole sign. It said, Tony and Susan Alamo, Christian Foundation. Services every evening at 8 o'clock and 3 and 8 on Sunday. I went by again, and I parked up the road and tried to read some kind of crazy book I had in my car, and I couldn't even think of anything but Tony and Susan Alamo, Christian Foundation, Christian Foundation, Christian Foundation. The Almighty God just kept running that back and forth in my mind, and I knew I had to go there and find out what was there, what it was all about. And I went back to the church, and I went to services that had just a simple, old-fashioned gospel service. I heard the truth of the I heard the truth of the gospel preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. You must be born again of the Spirit, or you will no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart, and he did just that, and he changed me from death unto life. I knew right then and there that I was saved, and that whatever I had to do to stay right with God was what I was going to do the rest of my life. And that's been almost 37 years. I've seen countless miracles, countless souls saved. a mighty work of God going all over this world by the because Tony and Sue cared enough about human souls to do just as the Bible says, to lay down their life and pick up the cross, and they went right out into the streets to the young people and to everybody, telling the truth of the gospel.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Stanford.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, there's literally hundreds of people that have, actually millions of people all over the world that have received the gospel from this ministry. And you can see a lot of the different testimonies if you go to alamoministries.com. alamoministries.com. www.worldwideweb. Right? And I'd really, again, I was really flattered that Greg Szymanski asked me to host his program here for today and tomorrow, Investigative Journal. Greg Szymanski, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I thought I was one of the only ones that tells the truth. Michelle, tell them a little bit about your testimony, all right? No, there's a lot of people here. I wish we had time for that, but maybe we'll get to some of them tomorrow.
Yes, I had the extreme honor and privilege of being born into this ministry. My parents were both saved over 30 years ago in the ministry, and I've got to witness the miracles from a little child, people being raised from wheelchairs. I've got to witness just daily, every day, especially since I've been an older and got to work around Tony and see every day how he lives his life and how he is literally 24 hours a day serving the Lord. And there's nobody else like that. There's not another church like that. I've got to witness the letters that are coming in literally by the hundreds every day by email and by just regular mail. And he answers every single one of them with a message straight from the Lord. People write back and say they're saved from the letters that they receive from Tony. And it's such an honor to be able to see this and be a part of it.
Praise the Lord. Now, here's my son, Cyan. This is my son that I really love a lot. Cyan, tell him a little bit. We've only got about 5 minutes here at the most. Again, if you want to check us out, go to the website, alamoministries.com.
Yeah, well, everyone has their own walk with Christ, and I'm just very thankful that God allowed me to have my own experiences with Christ and just to be able to be part of this ministry. And
we only have one walk with Christ, and that's walking in the Spirit, amen.
Oh, amen.
Yeah, but you know, we all have our different position in that.
Oh, amen, yeah, our own
position. That God calls us for all different kinds of things, right?
Yes, yes, amen. What I was meaning was like my own road when I reached out to Christ by myself. I have to walk my own pathway to get to Christ. Everyone has their own. There's only one way to Christ is through Jesus Christ. But I mean like their own. Their own.
The Word of God.
Situation.
They have to
believe
the Word himself.
Oh, of course, amen. But my own pathway to Christ is. Very rough the way, you know, God just revealed himself to you through the Word. If you just read the Bible, you can, if the Bible condemns your sins, and reading it definitely convicts you and drew me to salvation on my own. But I've seen persecution for sure. I was in Los Angeles at the Los Angeles Church, and we had different cops and investigators come up to the church, and they were actually harassing the church with, I remember they had bulletproof vests on, and they'd come up with guns. And
try to make it look like we're dangerous, right?
Yeah, oh yes, they'd park their cars like really awkwardly looking to the public by the highway, making it look like there was like a drug bust or something. They came with their tinted windows and a bunch of black Lincolns and really make it look bad. They're all stepped outside with their badges on, and they'd make up different stories saying that they were, like checking out the grading or something, that maybe there was some grading that was illegal there on one of the hills or something like that, but they had their guns, and so you knew they were just, you know, harassing the church for one reason or another. But I remember one, I found out later he was an investigator. His name was Thomas Greep. He gave me his card and says, you know, he was some kind of FBI investigator, but he pulled me over to the side, and he was talking to me about leaving the church, and he told me himself that he was a Catholic and that he didn't believe in the creation of the world that God created it. He believed in, as he told me that the Catholics believe that God didn't create the universe. They believe in the evolution theory. And he told me that, you know, it's so great just to sit out on the, you know, water, go to the beach, and just enjoy yourself, and you know, just get into all kinds of sin, as his own words, he said. And, you know, I was thinking in the back of my head, you know, this is so amazing how they just come right out and just try to pull you away from Christ. Well, I thought that if someone was going to come up to me and try and get me to come out of the ministry, it'd be a little bit more slicker or in their own, make it maybe a little bit more of a twist. But, you know, he just came right out and said, no, you need to come out here and just give me a call anytime. I'll come pick you up. You know, we can go and you can have fun and live your life. And, you know, you don't have to worry about this church. And, you know, he just started going on and on about, you know, Tony Lama. I told him my name. I'm sure he knew who I was, Cyan Lama. But he kept going on and on. And I remember when I told him my name, there was another man, a police officer, standing next to him. And he had his sunglasses on. He was really tall, trying to intimidate, you know, the brothers that were on the property. And when they heard my name, they both looked at each other and kind of smirked. And like, oh, okay. So, you know, that's when he started coming at me with, like, well, you know, you can come out and have fun. You know, this isn't, you got to come out and see the rest of the world, you know.
Yeah, those people are not having any fun. They're scared to death. They're afraid that, you know, they're going to get blown to pieces. Okay, those people are being killed every day. Go ahead.
And the environment, everything's messed up in the world out there. You can, you know, I talked to him. I told him, well, there's no reason for me to go out there because, you know, I'm having the best time of my life. And I was able to be around different people and talk to them. They were unsaved, people that had never been saved before and didn't know Christ. And without letting them know I was a Christian, I asked them about their life, and they would just tell me some awful stories about how their families were because of different incest problems that they were having. And, you know, I'd never heard of this before, being in this church. You know, the environment and the families, everything is just so perfect. And, you know, it's just, it just has to be one of the best ministries in the world because it's...
Okay, this is Investigative Journal. Greg Samansky, and I thank God that the Lord has put it on his heart to let me take. Tune in tomorrow night. Same time. Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo saying good night.